Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Alan Loeb, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. So this is a very different kind of interview for Gavin Grades the Movies. First of all, thank you for doing this. This was a special request that I had. How many special requests for interviews have you had?
Probably not many, because I'm just a writer.
But it's because you wrote a movie that I saw that made me want to get in touch with you. I saw Collateral Beauty, and it affected me, and I looked you up. Because usually with movies, you know, there's all kinds of teams of writers. You know, I mean, you're a Hollywood writer that's had a slew of successful films under your belt. You know about that more than me. Why are there usually teams of writers on movies? Because of executives or why?
Yeah, it's the process. It's an interesting thing because in television, it tends to be a little bit more of a unified vision. And in theater and play, live theater, it's extremely the writer's medium. But film is really more of a filmmaker's medium. It's the director's medium. And lately, the last 20 years, the movie stars have a lot of power. And so when the director comes in and the movie stars have the power, they want to try things out. And they often have their own writers that they prefer to work with. And the system is just built so writers come and go often, not all the time. But often, especially with the big blockbuster tentpole movies, the action movies, sometimes the comedy movies. So that's the process. That's the machine for many movies. But I think drama is a little bit more friendly to the writer's vision.
Is that true for you? Do you have any actors that request you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've worked with many, many actors, and I've been the guy that's come in at the last, you know, it's like, oh, the analogy we use in Hollywood is pitching. It's like I've been the guy that comes in the middle relief, the sixth inning to the eighth inning. I've been the closer. I've been the starter. I've been pulled in the fourth inning. And luckily, on a bunch of movies, I've pitched a complete game. Of course, Collateral Beauty was one that I pitched a complete game.
Thank you for getting me back on track with my interview. Yeah, it's the writing process has always been fascinating to me. I always wanted to be a screenwriter, but I ended up in radio instead. So I'm always interested to hear how it goes. But you are the only person credited with for writing Collateral Beauty. And, you know, this is going to get a little serious, but you wrote a very serious movie. So I think that, you'll understand this. The studio was nervous inviting me to see this movie, and it was because my daughter died. And it's rare. I'm a year and a half through my grief journey, and the movie is about a man working through his grief after the death of his daughter. And you never see movies about grief. Why do you think that is? What compelled you to write this movie?
It's interesting. I think, first of all, I think it's, you know, obviously these are really, really tough landmines in terms of, and I think there are movies about grief. I think they're more in the independent world. I think they're smaller movies. But in terms of the studio movies, you're right. And in terms of big Hollywood studio movies with major movie stars and big budgets, it's very hard to tackle. It's just hard to tackle death. It's hard to tackle grief. It's hard, especially a death of a child. These are really, really, really tough things to sell, to try to get people to make. It's just because they're very, very painful. And so doing this, I didn't write this movie in the original concept of writing Collateral Beauty, and I wrote it in a vacuum, meaning it was a spec script. I didn't pitch it to a studio. I didn't sell it to a studio. I didn't even pitch it to my agents. I just said, I'm writing something very emotional. It's probably tiny. No one might want it, but I have to get it out of me. And I wrote the movie. I mean, basically, you know, obviously things changed through production, but basically the DNA of the movie is what I wrote alone and then showed it to people, thinking it was going to be a tiny movie. And so I had the freedom to choose whatever I wanted to choose as a storyteller. And I didn't come from, I need to make money or I need to make a big blockbuster. I came from, what's the truth of this story? What's the best way to tell this story about someone who writes these letters to time, love, and death? And to me, a personal tragedy, and to me, that was the tragedy that made sense. And that was the one that would really knock someone out and have them playing dominoes, you know, aimlessly in their office and giving up on their lives and their business to the chagrin and to the pain of his business partners. So it was the truth for the story was losing a child for Howard. And I got to do it in a brave way, because if it were a studio-developed film and a studio bought the pitch or a studio came to me with a book, we might have developed that out of the story, because it's a hard sell, to be honest.
Right. I was shocked and blown away that a major studio not only would put this out, but put it out at Christmas. You know, and I know that this is Oscar season, and this is absolutely an Oscar contender. It's probably Will Smith's best performance he's ever given. And the more I researched you, because the story, again, coming from my own personal experience, it rings so true. And things that he says and things that members in grief counseling groups that he goes to ring so true. I was sure that you had some sort of relate, like you lost a child or something happened to you. And I couldn't find anything in your biographies about that.
Yeah, no, I did not lose a child. I, as a writer, just, you know, have to. My job is to capture moments and truths, hopefully the best way I can. And a quick, funny story about that is my first movie was a drama called Things We Lost in the Fire, where Benicio del Toro played a heroin addict. And through my research, I kind of got that up on the screen. And my mother, after seeing the movie, freaked out. She said, "You do heroin." I said, "I've never done heroin. I've never come close to heroin." She says, "Well, how would you know all that?"
Wow.
I said, "It's my job. This is my job." So it is, you know, you do have to. Part of our job is to hopefully get close to the emotional truth. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, writers, we fail all the time doing it. But hopefully we can connect also to getting it right sometimes.
Wow.
With that. And hopefully here I did.
Dude, you did. What a tribute to your writing, man, to ring so true on so many different subjects then. I mean, it really is impressive. Did you research grief counseling and grief groups?
I did. I did a lot of research on these subjects, and it's not easy, you know. It's I guess the allegory would be when an actor has to play that type of thing, or, you know, when an actor has to play a serial killer, and they got a Dean character, and it can screw them up a little bit, or it can really affect them while they're playing that character. So while I'm writing something that's a little darker or a little more painful, it affects me a little bit.
Yeah. I wanted to talk to you, and I wanted to find out the truth behind the story, because Collateral Beauty is a truthful and painful movie. I think that it was cathartic. It was cathartic for me anyway to sit through that. And I wish you the best, man. I hope that this pops up on some nomination lists.
Well, I appreciate that, and I really do. And you know what, to tell you the truth, if it doesn't, it doesn't matter, because what you told me about it being cathartic for you is really, really why I do it. So that makes me feel great.
Well, good luck in the future, okay?
Okay, thank you. Very nice to meet you.
You too, Alan. Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.